one of my biggest fear in life, or one of my biggest fear of getting into any form of ship. Now, don't miss it. I'm not talking about ship on rivers or ship on or ships on oceans. I'm talking about relationships, friendship, marriage ship. If there's something like that, I'm sure that you understand what I meant, is the fear of abuse. Being a child that was brought up in an enclosed space and an happy family, everybody just loved you, that there's no form of violence from both parents, I'm not privy to understand that there's actually something called domestic violence between partners. But when I start growing up and I start being conscious of my immediate environment, things that happen around me, I realize that there are a lot of relationships that are filled with immense violence that is so hard to comprehend, violence that is so scary. It made me realize that domestic violence is a thing, is a big thing that we need to constantly talk about, constantly speak to people about, so as to curtail and reduce it in the society. Which brings me to today's topic, which is breaking the silence. It's the right time to break the silence and navigating through relationship and domestic violence. Hi everyone, I'm Kiss. I'm being Kiss Oshima. You can call me Kiss. And this is Unwind with Kiss. As I said before we went on that minute break, I said our topic for today is navigating through relationship and domestic violence. Now, what is domestic violence? Now, domestic violence comes in different patterns and shapes. Domestic violence is a pattern of behavior, a sequential behavior in any relationship that is used by either of the partners to gain control and power over the other partner. Now, it's any form of behavior that frightens, intimidates, terrorizes, manipulates, injure, or wound the other partner. And it can occur in any range of relationship, including couples we are dating, those that are in a relationship, those that are married, those that are living together. If you want to believe that, it is actually the dating domestic violence that brought this topic to me. So in my compound, there's a young lady, very, very young lady, who stays alone. So she has this guy that she dates, and everybody in the compound thinks this guy is a very, very, very perfect, lovely gentleman. He does different things to her. He could do her dishes, do her laundry. He does those things effortlessly well. So surprisingly, I heard that he was eating her, constantly abusing her. I was shocked. I was like, I can never believe it. But being the kind of person that I am, that immediately I hear abuse, I don't try to confirm, I don't check it out. I'll just see what I see, which is what is glaring in my eyes. I'm not someone that try making reasons for the other partner. I was shocked that, things are happening, which is exactly what brought this topic, because I don't even have an idea. In the list of topics for this season, this topic is not there at all. But it's actually that occurrence that brought it. That made me realize that a lot of people are in what they call relationship, loving relationship, where they love themselves. But in actual self, they're covering a whole lot. And it starts from dating. You see people that are dating, boyfriend and girlfriend, and there's fear. They have a fear for their partner. Either partner, both the guy or the female. Domestic violence has nothing to do with gender. A guy suffers domestic violence as well as a lady suffers domestic violence. So now domestic violence appears in different forms. So now domestic violence is not only beating, because there's a stage. It starts from somewhere. It starts from psychological abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, economic abuse. Now, psychological abuse is the kind of abuse that your partner is constantly putting it into your mind that you are nothing without him, you are nothing without her, you don't have the right to speak, you don't have the right to say anything. You don't have to write your opinion. I speak and you listen. That is where psychological abuse comes from. Then we have the sexual abuse. Now, there's a lot of dynamics once another. As long as I'm married to you, I have a right to have sex with you anytime I want. My dear, it is very, very wrong. A lot of sometimes your partner might not be in the proper sexual space to want to be in a sexual, have a sexual relationship with you. Also, some partner, your partner might want to introduce a sexual style that other partner does not like. Like now, if someone has a fetish of BDSM and the other partner does not, you forcing that habit onto that other partner is abuse. Then we have the economic abuse. That is the worst. When a guy constantly wants you to be financially dependent on them, or a lady wants you to be financially dependent on her, that is economic abuse. It will get worse to the extent that you will not be able to do anything that has to do with finance without their help or without their assistance, which in turn makes discredit your opinions and thoughts. That there is abuse. And the head of them all, the Lori Okobambam of them all, is the physical abuse, eating, outing, different forms. Those are the forms of domestic violence that we have. Now, when you ask a lot of people why they're with abusive partner, they don't know they're with abusive partner. Now, which brings me to speak about the signs of an abusive partner. What are the things that you see in your partner that will likely show to you that is an abusive partner? It might not be abusing you yet, but it's showing traits of possibly abusing you. Number one, when you are with a partner that gets joy, that gets pleasure in embarrassing you, annihilating and making fun of you in front of your friends and family, just come to you and say, "Didimi, don't have sense. You can never have sense. You are so dumb." And so, such partner is showing trait of abusive partner. Two, a partner that puts down your accomplishment. See, whatever you do, if like, go up and down just to satisfy your partner's need. If the person is an abusive partner, no matter what you did, the person constantly let you know, tell you that, "Kilo Shegon, what have you done? You have done nothing. Your mates are doing this. Your mates are doing that. Your mates are there. Your mates are doing this. Your mates are working harder." Such partner is exhibiting the trait of an abusive partner. And that is working in a psychological abuse. Three, a partner that makes you feel you don't have the right to speak. A partner that makes you feel you don't have the capacity or the capability to make a decision. You cannot make decisions. You just hear what's like, you used to think. Please, I don't need your thinking. I don't need your thoughts. Such partner is a big red flag. Another one is that a partner that constantly tells you that, "You are nothing without me." You'll be always like, "Who are you without me? Can you feed yourself? Can you talk? Can you walk? Can you do this without me? I feed you, I clothe you, I bathe you." What's like that? Is toying with your emotional. That is an emotional abuse because it's going to constantly make you feel less of yourself. Now, a partner that treats you so roughly, shoves you at the lightest of confrontation, eats you, pinch you, hurt you, grabs you roughly, is an abusive partner. Another one is someone that uses, or a partner that uses drugs or alcohol as an excuse for saying very hurtful and unfair things to you. So now, yeah, it's because I was drunk. You were drunk and you are calling your partner slut. You are calling your partner ridiculous words like slut, idiot, non-entity, bastard. You don't need to be existing. You are a mistake. Words like that. Hurt. So a partner that now uses excuses of being drunk, on alcohol or on drug to say such words to you. It's hiding under alcohol or drugs to say those words to you. Another one is a partner that blames you for how they feel or how they act towards you. You'll be hearing words like, it's because of what you did now. If you did not do that, I won't shout at you. If you don't walk this way, I won't eat you. If you don't smile at me, I won't scream at you. Why should I be blamed for your inability to control yourself? Another one is, and the most important one to me is, a partner that prevents you from making bond with your friends and family. A partner that constantly chases you from your friends, from your family, stops you from meeting your friends, stops you from meeting your family. That partner is trying to seclude you. And when you are finally secluded, when you don't have no one to talk to, then it starts hurting you so bad. And by then, you don't have anybody to call your friend. You don't have anybody to cry to. There are various misconceptions about abusive relationships, like a whole lot of misconceptions. A lot of people have their ideas about an abusive of what an abusive relationship is or why somebody is not living an abusive relationship. A lot of people have different thoughts and misconceptions. So now I'm talking about the misconceptions of an abusive relationship. The first one is this word. Or this phrase, leaving the relationship should be easy. My dear, leaving an abusive relationship is not easy. One, why? Because the most important thing is you should try to leave before it gets deeper. Because now, as the relationship grows, you are having things together, holding you. You have some people, it's because of their pets, their kids, their financial dependency. Some even people say because of the cultural demands, they feel like, what will people say? In my family, we don't do this. In my family, I'll be the first person. In my family, my parents, my siblings, they will say this, they will say that. My dear, you are you. You are you. And you're the one that is fighting this battle. All these external factors, they're not fighting the battles with you. They're not going through the pains with you. So it's best you take it, you nip it while it's very, very tiny, while it's very small. Another thing is there, another misconception is that abuse is always physical. Even when you're trying to take an abusive partner to court, you know, it is even difficult for you to get evidence, especially when it's not physical. And abuse goes beyond physical. There's some partner that they will never hit you. But the things they do to your mental and emotional health is no joke. Like, you are literally dying. Some people, they constantly push you till you end up hurting yourself. So abuses goes beyond physical abuses. That's which is why I've said earlier the forms of abuses that we have. It goes way beyond physical abuses. And next one is, if someone needs help, they will ask for it. You are saying that if that friend of yours that is going through abuse and you know needs help, she will come to you, my dear. It's not as easy as that. It's not many people. Feels ashamed, feel humiliated, feel isolated, blames themselves. So when you are in a situation with someone that actually blames themselves for the abuse, it will not be easy for them to come out and tell you. It is left to you as a friend, as a family, to reach out, constantly reach out, trying to let them speak up to you and try to prefer solutions to them, which is going to help them in the long run. Don't wait till they come to you if you actually love them. The next, another one is, abusers are always putting their victims down. See, you have not seen abusers. There are abusers, there are some abusers outside, not indoor, outside. You see them carrying their partner's bag, petting their partner, doing everything, everybody will be envying that relationship. Like, people like, this is your man. He's so nice, so gentle, so perfect, so sweet. Oh, yeah. This is your wife, eh? She's one of a kind. She loves you. She treats you well. She's so nice. There are a lot of people that have black skin right under their white skin. They're only showing to you what they want you to see. So abuses don't usually start until their partner have developed a strong feeling. Even to the partner, so the person that they want to abuse, the person might not know. You might see some people while they are dating, they won't know their partner has an abuser trait. Treat them very well. Do everything for them. Which, if you can remember, you go back to the story that I said earlier, does everything for them perfectly. Until you become so attached to them, like you already develop a very, very strong feelings for them. Then the violent episodes now start showing. And another thing is that after the violence episode, they now start showing you what fire is beating domestic violence street. They will now apologize. When after hurting you, they will apologize with tears, showing, crying that, my love, I will never, I love you, wholeheartedly, crying, making all forms of kind gestures. They show you that because of what you did, if it's not as if you did this, I would never have, trying to pin the blame on you. My dear, my love, is at this point, you need to think, as you're listening, think about it, scenarios that relate, and start speaking to yourself. Is this the kind of life you want to continue living? Abusers never stop. Once an abuser, always an abuser. Yes. Call me anywhere. Once an abuser, always an abuser. So whenever you ask a domestic violence victim, why are you still in that relationship? Why are you still in that marriage? You hear phrases or sentences like, it's because of my kids. I don't want to leave my kids. What if I leave him and he stops my access, and it denies my access to my kids? You ask the man, you say the same thing, because of my kids. What if she denies me the access to my kids? Your feelings are valid, your thoughts are valid, and your reasons are very much valid. But do you realize that those kids that you're claiming you're there for, that you're claiming you don't want to leave for, that having a great, the abuse environment will have a great impact in them. It is affecting them psychology. So now I'm discussing about some of the impact of domestic abuse on children. Now, the impact of domestic abuses on children has two forms. We have short-term effect and long-term effect. For the short-term effect, we have bedwetting. You see a child that has stopped bedwetting before to start bedwetting all of a sudden. Increased sensitivity and crying. Difficulty sleeping. Separation anxiety. A loss of drive, a loss for drive to participate in any school activities. You see a child that has always been bubbling in school, all of a sudden turn into a meek student or a meek pupil. Lower grades in school, feeling responsible for the abuses their parents are going through. Having low self-esteem and finding it difficult to be in a relationship because he or she might feel that relationship is pain. Relationship is filled with pain, relationship is filled with hurt, relationship is filled with abuse. Excuse me. While for the long term, we have mentally depressed, feeling low self-worth, that you don't deserve to be here, you don't deserve to speak. Why? You don't have the right to talk when I'm talking. Using alcohol, or some of them even turn into drug addicts. And the biggest one,
is turning into an abuser. See, I'm going to say this now, child or children from an abusive family. You see, that turn into an abuser, or its relationship, or its the part, the gender that abuses in the relationship that he or she witnessed, probably is the father or the mother. He might hate men, or he hates men, she hates women. I mean, he hates women, she hates men, based on what he or she had witnessed growing up. So, we've been speaking about domestic violence, forms of domestic violence, impact of domestic violence. Now, I want to speak about the legal remedies available for domestic violence victims. So, sincerely speaking, in Nigeria, our country, there's not much domestic violence law to protect. Most states don't even have, probably because of the culture, I don't know, but there are not much legal remedies. But we still have few. We have that you should seek protection order. You could also apply for a restraining order. And Lagos State also has an agency, the Lagos State Domestic Sexual and Violence Response Team, which their duty is to protect or render help to domestic violence victims. So now, how do we help a domestic violence victim? Now, aside from castigating them, making them feel they deserve it, making them feel they're responsible for their acts, there are other ways to help domestic violence victims. One, make time for them. See, the most important thing is you make time for them, because if domestic violence victim at one point for the domestic violence erupted, they will have been secluded from friends and family. So it is left for you as a friend that love your friends to make time for them, speak to them, contact, check on them, make them feel loved till they be open to they be free to open up with you. Another one is listen without judgment. See, whatever they say, whatever their story is, listen to it. Not that after saying a lot of things that is hurtful to them, the first thing you say is, why do you shout at him? Why didn't you keep quiet when he said he should keep quiet? Why were you smiling with the lady? Could have just burned your face. No, it is wrong. Listen without judgment. So the first thing you say to someone that has decided to open up and speak to you about the domestic violence he or she is going through is to tell them, I believe you, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to be treated that way, and you deserve to be happy, you deserve to be fulfilled. Let them feel that their feelings are valid. Learn the physical, the emotional and behavioral signs. See, if you don't know something, there's no way you can detect it. So you need to know the sign, not the black eyes, the bruises, know the signs. So when you know the signs, when you see the signs on your beloved person, you'll be able to know that, this person might be going through domestic violence. And the last one for me is to validate the victim's feeling. Whatever they are feeling, whatever the hurt, the sadness, everything, let them feel it. Make them feel, you are hurt. And you don't deserve to be hurt. Let them feel that as the person is sharing their awful experience with you, then you are saying, you hear what's like some mothers, you hear them saying, what is on shell a bit? It happens like that, you're not the first person. No. Just because it happens does not mean it should continue happening. People that were abused, the entirety of their marriage, when they get old, time for them to be enjoying the fruit of their labor. What their kids are spending money on is on illness, sickness, because all their bones, their body, we're already battered with beatings and eating. Is that a life? No, it is not. Now, what are the ways to prevent domestic violence, to just prevent it? Know the signs. You see someone being unnecessarily obsessive towards you, you can't smile to someone. See, he does not love you. Don't tell me it's love. That's why it's jealous. There's a difference between jealous and being obsessed with someone or being possessive with someone. Know this. Also, make rational decision and leave. When you realize that this guy is showing trait or this lady is showing trait of a domestic abuser, leave. Just hold your mind. Tell yourself, I deserve better. I cannot live like this. And leave. Prioritize your safety. See, you are the first person to you. If you think about yourself first, prioritize your safety. It's only if you are alive that you're able to protect someone. It's only if you are alive that you're able to feed someone. It's only if you are alive that you're able to love another person. So you need to prioritize yourself and prioritize your safety.
Do you sometimes feel scared of how your partner may react? Or do you believe you can help your partner change only if you change something about yourself? My sister, my love, my dear, that right there is a sign of domestic violence. I need to speak up or make rational decision to save yourself. Anyone can be a victim of domestic violence, regardless of age, race, gender, sexual orientation, wealth, faith, class, and even culture. Domestic violence ruins and kills. No one, I repeat, no one deserves to be abused. You don't deserve to be abused. The abuse is not your fault. It is never your fault. You are not alone. You need to stand up, speak up, and tell yourself, I deserve better. Oh, what an heartfelt episode. So we've come to the end of this episode. You know, it's such an emotional episode. But are you someone who at one time in your life experienced domestic violence, or you are privy to someone that has experienced violence and you can share? We do expect to share your opinions, to share your experiences with us. Using, you can use the voice message or you can send a direct message to us. This is my contact in case you want to share a direct message, 081-4838-9548, to share a direct message with me about your experience. Because your experience that you're hiding, it could save a lot of people. It could save a lot of people from having to go through what you went through. Once again, I'm Keys. Yeah, I'm Keys. And this is Unwind with Keys. Do ensure to share to your friends and family. And yay, we've covered our previous channel. So now everybody can have access to the show, because during the channel that we are using before, a lot of iPhone users could not listen to it because the Apple Podcast, it was not on Apple Podcast. But now everybody can listen to it. This show is now on, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcast, it's on Overcast, it's on Radio Public. See, you can listen wherever you are. Share aggressively, and do ensure to follow my page, to follow on Apple Podcast, share your comments, share your reviews. I'm waiting. I love you all. Bye. Kisses. And don't forget, you don't deserve to be abused.